356. Number 356.
Our scripture reading this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling.
Morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I hope you all had a wonderful New Year's, wonderful seasonal day, Christmas the other day. Just like to say before we start our lesson here that while most of the world celebrated Christ's birth only once for the entire year, we as Christians celebrate Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection every first day of the week. That's what we do here in the Church of Christ as true Christians of God. And that's what we will continue to do. So we don't just celebrate Christ's birth once a year, or really just Christ once a year. We celebrate Him every first day of the week, even by the Lord's Supper that we will also do today in our worship service. Now there in our main text of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, some very beautiful things are presented, some important things are presented for us as Christians to be showing in our lives. And as well, we need to remember, first of all, that the time is coming soon. And we talked about the day of the Lord quite a bit in our class today, and it applies very well to the lesson, that there is a judgment day of God, and it is coming to each and every one of us very soon. We don't know when that is, whenever Jesus will come again, whenever that second coming will finally happen, but we know that it could very well be when. Tomorrow, it could very well be this year, it could very well be next year, it could be next week. In the next minute, it could be any time at all. Jesus could come again. He could take His sheep. Well, He will take His sheep, and He will, of course, punish those who chose to be wicked in this life. So the time is coming soon, and we need to remember that daily in our lives. There in 1 Peter 4, we're going to read verse 7 again. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Spirituality is a serious thing. And why is it a serious thing? Because spirituality, the things of God, the things that this Bible tells us, ultimately will determine, that is, if we read it and we do it, will determine where we end up after this life. When you close your eyes, you will be somewhere after this life. Whenever that finally happens, that closing of the eyes and the life leaves your body, your soul will go one of two places. Will it go to torment, or will it go ultimately to paradise, the paradise of God? Well, that's left up to us. That's left up to the choices that we make in this life. That's left up to how we conduct ourselves in this life, to whether or not we really show ourselves to be the lights of Christ, to be the lights against the darkness, or we show ourselves to be condoning the darkness in the darkness. What are we choosing in our lives? Because the time is coming soon. That's really the message that's being shown to this church here, to the brethren here that Peter is writing to. The end of all things is at hand. Be serious, be watchful in your prayers. Be watchful for the day of the Lord. Be watchful because that judgment of God is coming. Let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 13. Put a marker there and turn to Mark chapter 13. We're going to read verses 32 through 33. Mark 13, 32 through 33. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, that is Jesus, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So there, as Peter said, ultimately the Holy Spirit, Jesus also said there in Mark, be watchful, be praying, because the time is at hand. It could be this year. We're in a new year now, Christians. We're in a new year now, friends. Are you a Christian? Have you been baptized? Have you followed Jesus and God's plan of salvation that will ultimately get you to heaven after this life? Have you done that? Are you a Christian that's living faithfully to God? Have you done that this last year? Are you going to do that this year? If you haven't been, the question is why not? And what choices are you making in this life whenever no one else can see it? Maybe whenever it's nighttime and no one's able to see you. What choices are you making? Because there is one who can see you, and of course that's God. God knows what you're doing at all times of the day, at all times of the night. And all these things will be accounted to you on the day of judgment, whether good or evil. Revelation chapter 16, let's turn there as well. Revelation 16, verse 15. We're going to read quite a few verses about this day of judgment so we can really understand as Christians what we're going to, what we need to be looking for, what we need to be watching for, what we need to be aware of, because it really is the thing that we're all looking to in our lives, ultimately. Just as the Jews look towards the Messiah and the Israelites look towards the Messiah, we look towards the day of judgment as Christians. Revelation 16:15. Read with me. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. How would we walk naked and see our shame, and others see our shame? Well, of course, that would be because of sin. Sin is the thing that causes shame. Evil is the thing that causes shame. And we'll be naked if sin affects us. If it infects us, we'll ultimately be naked. We'll be destroyed spiritually. We'll be like walking corpses. We'll lose our garments of heaven. As many times it says in the book of Revelation, they wear white garments. They wear crowns. We'll lose those things if we allow sin to overtake us. If we allow that shame of sin to ultimately take our garments of white off and completely destroy our spirituality in God. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Well, how will Jesus come as a thief? If you're not watching, right? If you're not watching, Jesus is going to come as a thief. He's going to take you away. If you're living a wicked life, you'll ultimately be condemned. If you're living a righteous life, you'll be saved in eternity with God. So that's what's going to happen. Will he come as a thief to you, or will he not come as a thief to you? Will you be watching? Will you be ready for the day of judgment? Because it could be, once again, this year. It could be tomorrow in your life that it just happens like that. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, what just happened? I was just having a dinner with my family, and now the judgment of God just came. Wow. And it's just like that. It's a snap of a finger. That's how fast it will happen. We won't even realize it. It'll be that fast. So that's how fast the judgment of God will come. The time is coming soon. We must be aware and watchful and praying of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn there as well. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 2 through 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 3. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Well, I'm sure the women in here who have had a child know what this means here. Well, it's coming that fast. It's coming suddenly. It's coming swiftly. It's coming like a thief in the night. But for those especially who are not watching, who are not Christians, this will come even more suddenly. It will come especially as a thief in the night, because they won't be ready for it at all. And really, they will be taken. All of a sudden, their soul taken. They will die in this physical form, as we all will leave these bodies whenever the judgment day comes. And the soul, the spirit, will be really placed to where it's supposed to be placed according to the judgment of God, according to the ultimate judgment of Christ unto the Father, unto the will of the Father. So that day of the Lord is coming. We must be ready for it. Could happen tomorrow once again. Matthew 24. We're going to read a few verses in Matthew now. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. Now, one other thing I might say is, Christians sometimes, whenever they hear about the day of judgment, they'll make a face. And what do I mean by that? They'll make a face as in, they don't really want it to come. They don't want the judgment of God to come because they want to keep living their lives on this earth. And certainly, if they're wanting to live their life on this earth in service to God, then praise God for that. That's a great thing. But some people, some Christians, don't want to leave this world. They don't want to leave at all. They really don't want to go be with God whenever that judgment will come. They just want to keep living in this world. They care more about the possessions. They care more about the things of this life, the physicalities, than they do about spirituality. They care about going to heaven, being with God forever, which is far better, which is far greater than being in this life, than suffering in this life with all the pain, and being with all those loved ones, and being with even your spouse after this life who is also a Christian. That is far better than this life and what this life has to offer. The time is coming soon, Christians. It's a blessing to us. It's a blessing that we get to go to heaven, that we get to go to paradise. It's not something that's bad. It's not something that's bad at all. I want you to think for a second about the good things of this life before we go into this text. Think about all the good things in this life, all the blessings that this life has to offer. Who gives that to you? God does. Now think about heaven, all that heaven has to offer. Who gives that to you? God does. Is heaven far better? Yes, heaven is far better than what this life has to offer, than what God has given you in this life. And then heaven is supposed to be better than that. So you might say, well, I'm happy right here in this life right now. Well, guess what? You're going to be happier in the life to come. Not because God has made you some sort of robot to where you can't feel anything anymore, but because God has given you things that are far better. Because God has given you happiness and things to be happy about that are far better. That's all offered in heaven. That's not offered here on this earth. Heaven is far better. So the judgment day truly is a blessing to the child of God, just as the Messiah was to the Israelites, just as the Messiah was to those in the Old Testament. The judgment day is a blessing to us as Christians. So think of it as a blessing, not as an end, not as a horrible day. It's a blessing, Christians. Now, Matthew 24, I mentioned a moment ago. We're going to read verse 37, and we're going to start there. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And who is saying this, saying these very words? Jesus. Christ is ultimately saying these very words before them. And they know this story. Most likely, most people know about this story of Noah. Maybe even Gentiles, they know about this story of Noah. Because it's such an old story. It's one of those, maybe to them, would be like an old folklore or something like that. But ultimately, is the story of Noah true? Yeah, it's true. It's something that actually happens. It's something that the world came, and they didn't know when it was going to come, but they knew it was going to come. Because Noah would be preaching to them, telling them to repent, turn away from their sins, but they wouldn't do it. And whenever the floods came, it took them all away, destroyed them all, just like the judgment day will. And Jesus is using that great illustration here, that real illustration. The people were warned, but they didn't listen. The people were warned of the judgment of God today, but will they listen? Will you listen? Will I listen? That's a question that we need to all ask our hearts this morning. Then verse 42, same chapter, verse 42. Let's read it together. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Do we know that the Son of Man is coming? We know He's coming. So should we be ready? Yes, we should be ready. Just as the master of the house should have had someone ready to be watching, as that should have been taking place, we should also be ready. We should also be watching our own house, watching our own hearts, watching our own selves, watching our own souls, and making sure that it's pure, undefiled, without spots, blameless and clean before God, so that when God comes again, when Jesus comes again, we won't be taken away into the flood and destroyed, and our souls destroyed in hell, ultimately like those in the days of Noah were. Don't let that happen to you. Let yourself be spotless and clean, without blemish. Make sure that you are wholly undefiled before God whenever Jesus comes again. That's the warning that Jesus is giving here. He even uses that great example of Noah. So what great example to really emphasize how Jesus will come again and how that judgment day will be. Out of nowhere and suddenly, but we did know about it. We knew it was coming. Now Hebrews 9:28. Another great passage. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. And we're going to start in verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Jesus has already appeared to save. Jesus has already appeared to try to save the lost, to warn the people about sin. Just as the prophets would appear, just as God would appear in the Old Testament, and maybe even to Abraham, maybe to Adam and Eve, He'd warn them about sin. Men were always warned about sin. And then they had a time period in which after that, they would get to choose. Are they going to fall into the sin? Are they going to reject the sin, reject the temptations of sin? Well, will we do that today? That's the application I'm trying to get to you, Christians. Will we reject sin today? Will we allow that temptation of sin to get to us and get to our hearts? Pervert us. Defile us. Defile us as the temples of God. Christians, be ready and make sure that we don't have sins in our lives and we're not walking in darkness as 1 John warns us about. Revelation 22. A few more verses in Revelation. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work. And I want you to read this, the next verses 14 and 15. Notice he just said there, I'm coming quickly. You don't know when I'm coming, but I'm coming quickly, to give everyone according to their work. Now, verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. So those are the good ones. Christians, that should be us. Those are the ones that have the right to enter into the gates of that city, have the right to the tree of life. Christians, that's you. That's you. Be watchful. Outside, though, in verse 15, are dogs, are sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. That's not you. That should not be you. If that's you in your life, if you have sin in your life, you're not going to enter into that into the gates of that city. That is a terrifying thought on the day of judgment. Christians, if you're living your life faithfully, if you're living your life right before God, you shouldn't be scared of the judgment. You shouldn't be terrified. If you're not living your life right, though, if you have this in your life, verse 15, if you're lying, sexually immoral, all these different things, idolaters, if you're believing in other gods, all these different sins we can think of, homosexuality, if you think about all the New Testament teaches, all these sins that we're supposed to not have a part of our lives, if that's in your life, you will not enter into the gates of that city. That's what makes the judgment day terrifying. Now, I'll ask you a question. Should we know, as Christians, where we are going after this life? Yes, we should know where we're going. We shouldn't wonder about that. And the New Testament does not teach for us to wonder about that. We should know where we're going. And how would we know where we're going? Based upon our actions. Based upon how we conduct our lives. Based upon how we follow His law. How we follow the New Testament law, straight and true. Christians, if we follow this law, I guarantee you, and that's not a guarantee from me, that's a guarantee from New Testament teachings from God. If you follow this law of the New Testament, if you follow the teachings of Jesus and the example of Christ, and if you live that in your life, you will see heaven. You will go to heaven after this life is over for you. There's no question about that. There shouldn't be. And if there is, then why is there a question about that? Ask your own heart this morning and apply these things to your own heart. Apply these things to how you live your own life. And if these things affect you, if what I've said today is affecting your heart, ask yourself why. And maybe get whatever that is in your life that nobody knows about, or maybe that you've been hiding, or maybe that's some sin. Get that out of your life. Allow yourself to be able to enter into the gates of that city whenever the judgment day comes. Because once again, we don't know when it's coming. We don't know. Will you be ready? Will I be ready? Will we be ready, Berryville Church of Christ? Friends, will we be ready for that day? Because it's coming soon. That's the message to the church here that Peter was trying to get across in our main text. It's also to us. We have this same New Testament and we're reading the same thing. Go back to chapter 3. We're spending quite a bit of time on the judgment day. There are some other things I'd like to mention from this text. But the judgment day is such an important thing for us as Christians, just as the Messiah was to Old Testament people. Well, the judgment day is important to us, and we need to remember these things. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now, this church of Philadelphia, the church of Christ in Philadelphia, in verse 7, well, I know your works, verse 8. See, I have set before you an open door, no one can shut it. You have a little strength, you have kept my word, you have not denied my name. Well, They're doing what they're supposed to do. These ones here and these ones here, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Don't let someone else take your crown. Like Revelation 2:10 says, remain faithful unto death and you'll get the crown of life. Well, what's it really talking about there? We see this crown and these white garments in the book of Revelation. We see how we'll get all this splendor and this glory from God, and God will bless us with all these things that we'll be wearing, and God will ultimately make us like rays of light, and we'll be illuminating even as God illuminates. Those are all awesome thoughts. That's beautiful. Well, Christians, will that be you? Or have you lost your white garment? Have you lost your crown? If you've lost that, the question to you is why? The question is why, Christians? Are you not following a commandment of God? Are you not living like Christ lived? Are you not showing the example of God in your life? All of these I want you to ask yourself this morning, because the time is coming soon. Now, another reference that we won't turn to is 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. And you can jot that down if you're taking notes. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. But another verse that helps us to realize that if you're a true Christian of light and you're not living in darkness, you will be saved after this life is over. You shouldn't be wondering about that. If you're a Christian doing what you're supposed to do, doing the best that you can for God, following His law straight and true, you will inherit heaven after this life is over. And you shouldn't wonder about that. Now let's talk about a few more things in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4 doesn't just talk about the judgment day, but it compares the judgment day to some other things that we need to be showing in our lives. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So it just talked about the judgment day, the most serious thing in our lives as Christians that's coming to us, that's prophesied to come. Really the last prophecy that we can think about that God has given to man that has not yet been fulfilled is this prophecy that the judgment day is coming. It's the most important one because it applies to everyone. It applies to how we're going to live after this life for eternity, for forevermore. Well, now, after this judgment day has just been said, now what do we need to do to be ready for this judgment day? Verse 8, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Sometimes people think that you can follow Christ without love, that you can follow Christ without compassion, as Jesus had compassion, as Jesus had love. You can follow Christ and you can just believe you're going to heaven just by belief or whatever. But that's not what we're really talking about. But that you can just love. Well, that you cannot love and that you can ultimately go to heaven. But Christians, the thing is that we need to have love for one another. We need to have love for our fellow man. We need to have love for our brethren. There needs to be love going everywhere. We need to love the souls that are around us. Who has the judgments? Who has the justice? Who has ultimately the vengeance? Well, we have the justice if we're Christians, because we'll ultimately get heaven, and those who persecuted us will be tormented for what they've done to us. But God is the one who delivers that. God is the one who has the vengeance. So what should we do in this life? As Jesus came to save and to love the people that were on the streets holding out money and who were needing things and who were maybe some beggars or whoever it was, those with a withered hand, those who were paralyzed, those who had leprosy, as Jesus would heal them and would help them, what should we also do while we're here in this life? The same thing. We should be helping those people. We can't help them miraculously as Jesus did to prove the message in the messenger. But we have the Word of God. Help them with the Word of God. And help them maybe even with physical needs. That's why we give to people who come to this building. And they might need something. They might need food. They might need some money. Maybe for gas or something. And we help them with that. Maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ. They don't have as much in life, and we might help them with some type of need, with food or water or maybe even funding or something. We help them with that, Christians, and we're supposed to. We're supposed to love one another and show that not just by words, but also by what? By action, by doing something. So show that love even by action, because the time is coming soon. We continue to make that application that the time is coming soon. So we're to have fervent love for one another. Another word for love that you'll find if you're reading the King James Version is charity. Is charity. And charity is a word that we all know. It's no secret to us. But it is love really with doing something. Love really with giving. with compassion, with actually performing an action for someone else. What parable is a great example of this, of charity? I think about the Good Samaritan. I always think about the Good Samaritan whenever I think of charity or when I think of loving one another or loving someone else, maybe even of the world. The Good Samaritan exemplified Christ in a way that we all should. He exemplified Christ in that He gave to someone who was lying on the street that He didn't even know, whenever no one else would, not even those who should have been doing it, but He did it. He helped that man off the street. He gave him everything that he needed. He gave him somewhere to sleep. He gave him food and water. He gave him monetary needs. He gave him everything he needed. Well, Christians, what would we be willing to give? Maybe even just as Jesus gave. Maybe just as that Good Samaritan gave. And remember who told that parable. It was Jesus who told that. So we should exemplify those things, Christians. We should exemplify giving and not being really grudging of necessity, grudging of things that of possessions in this life, focus so much on physical things in this life that we forget about our spiritual obligations to each other. Our spiritual obligations, most of all, to God, because the time is coming. John 13:34. Let's read that together. John 13:34. All right. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How many times does Jesus have to say it before we get the point? We need to love one another. Because the day is approaching, once again, as we just saw there in 1 Peter 4, love one another. If we're not loving one another, Christians, we're in danger of the judgments. If we're not loving the world around us even, and we're holding hatred against people, evil hatred. And what is evil hatred? Evil hatred, that is, hating someone's soul even, hating someone so much that you just want them to go to hell. Christians, are we here to condemn people, or are we here to save people? We're here to save people. We're not here to do the condemnation. When is God going to do the condemnation? On the judgment day. Are we there yet? We're not there. So are we supposed to be judging people now? Are we supposed to let God do that whenever the appointed time comes? We need to let God do the judging. Let God do the sentencing. Which one of you has power here to sentence someone to hell? Which one of you has power? If you have power, raise your hand and let me know, and then show me some miracle or something. No one here has that power. No one here does. Only God does. And that will happen once again when the day comes, on the day of the Lord, on the day of judgment. Not now. So don't be judging. Don't be hating people. We're to be saving people now. Don't be holding grudges. We're to be saving people now, Christians. Love the souls around you. Love the souls of your brethren. Love the spirits that are around you. Jesus came to save the world, not to condemn it. That's the same thing for us who bear His name. Remember that, Christians. The day is approaching. We need to be, of course, loving everyone. That is a command. Matthew 5:22-24. Let's read that. Matthew 5:22-24. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. How important is it that we have love with one another? Well, I'll say it's this importance. You're going to be living next to that person in heaven. What do I mean next to? We might think physically about our neighbors. Well, are all the children of God, all of us here, all of us as Christians, are we going to be neighbors in heaven? Yeah, we are. We're going to be neighbors in heaven. Whether that's however close, stop thinking physical. We're still going to be neighbors in heaven. We're going to be brethren in heaven, children of God in heaven. We should love one another on this earth, because we're going to spend an eternity together. And sure, all the physical things and physical handicaps will be put off after this life. But we need to love each other now so that we're worthy of heaven. That's how important loving your brethren is, as said there by Jesus in Matthew 5:22-24. Now, a few more things, Another verse you can put down is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And we won't turn there now for sake of time. But one more thing that I want to get to you before we end our lesson here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 is in our main text. So flip your marker there. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So we really already talked about this quite a bit, but another command there that is given to the recipients of this letter, of this epistle, is that they should be hospitable to one another. So we talked about that Good Samaritan. We talked about how we should be helping one another with monetary needs, helping with one another maybe with love needs. You ever think about mental needs? Helping one another with that. Which one of us goes through some mental struggle in our life? Which one of us goes through some depression in our life or some anxiety in our life? Everyone in this room can raise their hands because we all do. We all go through some depression or anxiety at some point in time. That happens to everyone. We all come from different backgrounds, all different places, different families, everything. But we still have the same things happen to us in this life, like depression and anxiety. And we need the help of our brethren. We need the help of our spiritual family. And we're supposed to be there for one another whenever those times come. So I say to you who are having it, don't shut people out. Don't shut your brethren out whenever those times come. Let them help you. And then I also say to you who are helping, make sure you actually help them. Make sure whenever you see somebody who's going through a difficult time at church, that you don't get angry at them for that, but you give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them compassion as Jesus did. Give them mercy in your own heart as Jesus did. Maybe they're going through something hard in their life, and maybe you don't know what's going on in their life. Ask them about it. If they're not willing to talk about it, just give them the love of Christ. Show the love of Christ to them and show them that you care. And the whole congregation, show them that you care. Whenever Pam Pinkley repented, it was beautiful that everyone was coming up and encouraging her that she repented. Everyone was wanting to hug her and show love to her and show that brotherly love to her, that sisterly love to her. That was a beautiful thing that we exemplified, that we showed that Christ wants us to do. That's the fervent, consistent, constant love that we should have for one another. And do we have that today, Christians? That is what you need to ask yourself this morning. Do we have that kind of love for one another? Because the day is approaching. And are we hospitable to the world around us, even to our brethren most of all? Are we hospitable to our brethren? Are we willing to help our brethren? How loving are we to our brethren? If a brother would come up to our house and need something, yes, our house, and if they needed something at our house, would we be willing to help them? Or would we just shrug them off and let them stand at the door in the rain? What would we be willing to do, Christians, for our brethren? What would we be willing to do like Jesus was willing to do? Because the time is once again coming soon. Now, I'll leave one more reference with you for those who are taking notes. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37 is being hospitable physically and spiritually. Luke 10, 25 through 37, and that's talking about that parable of the Good Samaritan. So many things to think about here. Many commandments, many encouragements as far as the day of judgment, as far as heaven coming after this life. So make sure, Christians, as we're in this new year, that we're setting a good example of light, of Christ, of love, of the love of God, and that we're exemplifying Him only always in our lives, and not the things of sin, and not the things of really the world, and behaving even like an animal, behaving like just regular man, but behaving like God and the standards of heaven, according to the standards of heaven. If you have any needs today, Christians, please do let us know and please do let us help you. Just as we were talking about, it's not a shameful thing to need help today if you're a Christian. It's not a shameful thing to say, I've sinned and I need to repent. We've all done it. We all need to do it. We all need to repent of our sins. If you have sin in your life, that's something that will separate you from God. If you choose to continue to do it, that will ultimately separate you from your God, and you need to correct that. Christians, if you have anything like that this morning, you need to correct that. If you have any needs as far as family, physical, spiritual, please let us help you. And if you're not a Christian, we know that there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, and in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's name. We have to baptize someone. And Christians, I've said one part of the plan of salvation, but we must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And most of us are Christians here, so I won't go too much into that. But then we must, of course, remain faithful all of our lives after this life is over. After this life is over, of course, we'll reap that reward of heaven if we remain faithful. If you have any need today, my friends, please come to the front as we stand and praise God together.